Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in the Greenville-Spartanburg area of South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes. You need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. Just a reminder, as always, please like the show, especially if you're on YouTube. It's really simple. There's a thumbs up button. Just hit it. Hit that right now if you're on YouTube. And please make sure you hit the little bell to subscribe or subscribe on whatever podcast platform or app that you're using. And if there's any feedback you can give on that, that'd be great too. 5 stars, little review, all of those things I would really appreciate. If you guys could just take a second, if you're getting something out of this content, please do that. All right. Today we need to talk about new construction, okay? And there's a reason why. And that is because really the past 3 years, two things have really dominated the market. And that is the sudden increase in mortgage rates and then basically their inability to come down to affordable levels. And then a whole lot of new construction being built pretty much everywhere, okay? Now we've talked a lot about rates. Right? I've done a ton of episodes on rates. If you're interested in the mortgage rates discussion, just go back and listen. You'll find a bunch of content that I've done on mortgage rates. But we've not talked as much about new construction. I have talked about it a little bit, but I have not talked about it in a ton of detail. And the time has come, okay? The time has come. We need to talk in a little more specificity about what's going on in the greater Greenville area when it comes to new construction, okay? And I want to start by saying this. In some areas, it's actually cheaper now to buy new construction than it is to buy an existing home. It's never been that way before. And this is not just in Greenville. This is like a nationwide thing. It is becoming cheaper to buy new construction than an existing home. That is not the way it's supposed to work, okay? When that happens, that means that something is broken in the market. That means something is off. Something is not working the way it's supposed to. And the result has been that many people who didn't start searching or didn't start their real estate search targeting new construction end up with new construction because it's like, well, this just makes the most sense, right? All these homes I'm looking at, they all need work. Here's a brand new house. It's cheaper than all these other homes that need work. How could I choose anything else, right? I have seen that over and over and over again the past 3 years. And it's starting to reach a point where it's like, okay, this is no longer just a trend that lasted for, you know, but obviously coming out of the pandemic, there was going to be some weird things that happened. Obviously, when mortgage rates went way up, there were going to be some weird things that happened. And builders really took advantage of that, right? Remember builders putting out all those, you know, when mortgage rates were 8%, you could get, you know, a builder rate at 4.99%. Now, the APR is always way higher than that. Be aware that some of the numbers that they'll toss around are not quite what they look like on the surface. but it looked like, you know, okay, this was going to be a trend that would go on for a few years and then die down. Well, it's now been over 3 years of a ton of new construction being sold. It's not slowed down yet, okay? And I want to say this. One of the things we need to understand is that buyers have a ton of options right now in the new construction space. And that is part of what's going on. I'm going to show you guys, if you're looking on YouTube, I'm going to show you this little chart here. Unsold completed homes for sale. This is an insane chart, okay? This is a nationwide chart. This isn't specifically a Greenville chart. So keep that in mind. But number of unsold but completed homes. So these are homes that are completely built. They are at the highest level since roughly 2009 to 2010. That was when we were in the Great Recession, all right, the global financial crisis. And it still appears to be going up. Now, we're not yet at the peak, anywhere near the peak that we were at during the global financial crisis. The global financial crisis, we were almost at 200K I'm just making sure I'm reading this correctly. Yeah. We're almost at 200,000 unsold completed homes. Right now we're at close to 120,000. So we're nowhere near where we were back then, but we're still at the highest level that we've been since then. Okay. So I think that is some really important color. If you're looking for new construction, this is a great time. Okay. If you're not looking for new construction, you're going to find that a huge percentage of the inventory that's out there is new construction. Because again, these homes are being completed and not sold by the builders at the clip that they were being sold at. Okay. Now I get a lot of questions from people. Well, how is this builder? You know, they'll see homes that are just sitting on the market by XYZ builder. And they'll ask me, you know, as a realtor in your professional experience, what is this builder like? And listen, there are definitely some builders, production builders, that are better than others. And if you want to have a fun time, Google them, look up their reviews, and see that they all have terrible reviews. There's a reason for that. I don't judge builders off of those Google reviews at all, because the people that leave reviews on Google for a builder had a bad experience, right? It's a sample size anomaly. You don't get a lot of people that love their builder that go on there and leave them a 5-star review. That's just the reality of it. Now, all that being said, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that X builder is better or worse than Y. Okay. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, each neighborhood is different because some supervisors of those neighborhoods are better than others. Some, you know, every builder, they have supervisors that oversee one or more neighborhoods. And some of these supervisors are really, really bad, right? They just don't care. They're not detail oriented. They just want to crank homes and just get in and out of the community. Others, they're really, really specific. They're really, really picky about certain things. I talked to one that was like, he's really picky about what's going on behind the walls, all of the mechanicals, all of the plumbing, all of the electrical systems and everything. The HVAC system, his big thing is making sure that all of those are done really, really well. But when it comes to cosmetic stuff, it's just kind of like, they can live with that, okay? They're buying a cheaper home. I'm going to make sure that their home is well built in terms of the structure and all the mechanicals. But in terms of the cosmetics, if the grout lines aren't quite done well, if the paint isn't perfect, they're just going to have to deal with it. Like, I literally had a builder supervisor tell me that. And listen, you might go into another neighborhood where it's the opposite, where the builder is focused more on, or the supervisor is focused more on the finishes. They're really not paying a whole lot of attention to the mechanicals or to the structure or things like that. And so that's where it's really hard for me to answer and hard for any realtor to answer that question. Yeah, there are some builders that have a better reputation or a worse reputation than others. But listen, at the end of the day, I have had clients that bought homes from some of the builders that have the quote unquote bad reputations and they love the homes. I've had some clients that bought from the builders with quote unquote good reputations that didn't love the homes. Okay. And a lot of that comes down to there is a degree of variability from one neighborhood to the next based on the supervisor. And we have no control over that. And in realtors, we don't get to know the supervisors at the end of the day. And so we don't even get to, like, that's not even a tool that we can use in our toolkit, which is like, okay, well, I know that this neighborhood by this builder has this supervisor, it's going to be safe. We don't even have the ability to look at it from that perspective. And so that's something that you need to really consider. If you're thinking about new construction in the Greenville-Spartanburg area, consider that there's really not a true foolproof way of knowing whether the builder in that neighborhood is going to do a good job or not, kind of until it's done. And as a realtor, that can put me in a weird spot, right? Because obviously I want, and really my fiduciary responsibility to my clients is to help them get the best home possible. And sometimes new construction on the surface is the most bang for your buck. But if the builder does a bad job, well, they've gotten worse in recent years over fixing things. And this is something I've run into quite a bit, okay? Quite a bit where the builders, they don't want to. They've gotten stingier about correcting mistakes that they make. We'll come back to that in a second. And before we come back to that, I do want to say that, you know, another question I've gotten has been, you know, over, you know, what's the production builder quality like? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? I would say that it is, in fact, getting worse. And it has gotten worse over the years. As, you know, particularly after the pandemic, all of the supply chain issues happened. And builders were having a hard time sourcing windows, having a hard time sourcing lumber, having a hard time finding all these different supplies and materials. And they got chintzy on some of them because they could. And guess what? They kind of never went back. This is my perspective, right? I don't have data behind this, but this is my personal opinion. And this is not all builders, okay? I'm just saying that some builders did this kind of tactic. Quite frankly, I'm getting to the point where it makes me nervous. If I have a client that wants to work with a builder, I can always work with a builder, but I get nervous, particularly when you're starting from the ground up, right? Some builders do spec homes where they build it from the ground up and then sell it once it's close to completion. Other builders, they will let you essentially purchase the lot within the neighborhood and then build kind of whatever house that they allow on that lot. And some do a mix of the two. A lot of them do a mix of the two. I get really, really nervous when I have a client that's starting with the lot purchase and starting from the ground up, starting from square one. Honestly, and you'll hear people say the opposite. A lot of people say that they're more nervous about the spec homes. I'm actually the opposite way, because I've seen so many times that once you get in with them right at the very beginning, if the builder starts getting sloppy along the way and they're pushing back and fighting you on fixing it, you get to the end of it and it's just like, well, they weren't willing to fix anything. They did kind of a sloppy job on a lot of these things and they're not doing anything about it. And it puts me in a weird spot, because what leverage do I have, right? The builders have all the leverage. They make you pay usually pretty hefty upfront fees, earnest money and all of that. And you know, make it to where it's very, very challenging for you to back out, and very challenging for you to negotiate once you get under contract. Now, to pivot a little bit, because perhaps you're thinking, well, what about the county? And I guess it's not really a pivot. It's more of just looking at this issue from a different angle. What about the county, right? Doesn't the county have inspectors? Don't they have codes that have to be enforced and all of that? And we have talked a good bit on this podcast in previous episodes about how Greenville County and other counties and municipalities have been trying to slow all the new construction. And part of the ways that they have done this is by getting stricter with the builders on multiple levels. But you know what they aren't getting stricter on? Is quality of construction. Greenville County, Pickens County, Spartanburg County, Anderson County, they're not getting stricter on the quality of construction. And I'm not saying that they should, okay? Just to be clear, I'm not saying that the county needs to step in and get involved on that level, but people need to understand that when builders claim that, oh, you don't need to have any inspections, because, you know, the county comes in here with their inspectors. Their inspectors are really strict. Their inspectors aren't strict. Like, they might be strict on where outlets need to be placed, like a bunch of nitpicky stuff that nobody really cares about. They're not, generally speaking, strict on how a home is finished. Well, especially when it comes to interior finishes. They are not strict about that. And you might think, well, I mean, interior finishes, those are cosmetic. I get that. I'm willing to live with if the builder's not perfect about that. But you have to remember, some of these interior finishes are cosmetic. They're not structural, but cosmetic can be very expensive. What if the drywall team uses bad drywall tape, or does a really bad drywall tape job, and after closing, all the tape joints start to come apart on your drywall? And the builder refuses to fix it. And you just got tape joints hanging down the corners of your drywall everywhere. Is that what you want? What if the plumbing fixtures start leaking because they use the absolute cheapest fixtures and they all fail very quickly? And, you know, you're having a hard time making a warranty claim, et cetera, et cetera. Don't just say, oh, well, if it's, you know, cosmetic, it's okay. I can live with that. No, cosmetic things can become very expensive too. You know, a big one that I've seen is builders not fixing the settling like they're supposed to. And what will happen with new construction, a lot of times, the home always settles afterwards. And sometimes that'll result in windows not opening or closing properly, doors not opening and shutting properly, cracks in the drywall, all sorts of stuff. And again, it's like, do you want to go in and try to adjust a bunch of windows and doors and try to get it right? If the builder is not willing to do that, well, guess what? This home with all these doors and windows, now you can't open and close half of them. You know, is that what you want? And again, I'm not trying to fearmonger, right? I'm not trying to make it sound like every single new construction is a disaster. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just warning you guys that this is the trend. This is the trend of where things are going in the new construction world. I had a new construction closing recently, and my client, they opted to not have any third-party inspections done, which is obviously the client's prerogative. I always encourage third-party inspectors, not because, again, the county inspectors, they're not doing a whole lot. The builder inspectors, you know, their inspectors that they have, they're not doing a whole lot. If you want to have a real unbiased opinion from a professional, you've got to hire and pay several hundred dollars for a third-party inspector. Well, I had some clients that they'd bought and sold a bunch of homes, so they felt comfortable going at it themselves, and that was fine. So we did the final walkthrough with the builder, and we walked through the whole house, and we spent very little time in the garage. When we were in the garage, I noticed kind of like a wet spot, but then it was like we got distracted by something else, and it was like, all right, I'll come back to that. But we didn't come back to that. I thought we were going to come back to the garage at the end. That's typically the way it works. We didn't. And so at the end, they were outside. The builder and my clients were looking at something. And I noticed again that I saw what looked like a wet spot in the garage. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? I go over there and I find there's water actually dripping into the garage from the sheetrock. There was some kind of a pipe back there that was leaking, and I caught it. Now, I'm not an inspector, obviously, but that was something that I caught. My clients didn't catch. The builder didn't catch it. I called them all in. I was like, hey, I think I found something here, and they went in there. They were just like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is the problem. Like, someone drove a nail through a pipe or something that's causing this leak. And again, we caught that before closing. You catch that after closing. That could have been very, very challenging to get repaired. Because again, if you're having, once you buy the house, yeah, they've got these warranties and all of that. But you're not guaranteed that a warranty is going to come through for you. And many builders have started outsourcing their warranties to like actual warranty companies, rather than handling the warranties in-house. Now, that might make sense, again, surface level, but in my opinion, it's made things worse because the warranty companies are like insurance companies. They don't want to take on any claims, whereas when the builders handle the warranties in-house, they really want their customer to be satisfied because they don't want those negative reviews to come in. They don't want their clients to be upset with them. But now that they can just pass them off to the warranty companies, and then, you know, if the buyer gets upset, they're upset at the warranty company, not the builder. Well, guess what? The builder doesn't care what the warranty company does, as long as they, take the blame for what happened. All that to say, at the end of the day, if I were in the market to buy a house, I personally would not buy new construction from one of the production builders, except maybe if it was already built. If it was a spec home, they had already built it, I could come in, I could see the quality of the work that they had done, have it inspected, you know, make sure that the stuff that I can't see is done well, all of that. That would be my approach. In other words, for neighborhoods offering for you to pick out the lot and then design the home, pick out the floor plan, pick out the elevation, the materials, all that, that sounds like a lot more fun than buying a spec home, and you get a lot more design power. I wouldn't do it. Not me. I would be more willing to go somewhere where the house is already built so you can actually see the quality of the work that they did. And then one last thing. We have talked about this a bit in previous episodes, but you buy new construction, you got to be prepared to live there for a few years, right? Because if the market doesn't correct at some point, and by correct, I mean, well, not in the way that some people use it. If the market doesn't shift at some point where rates are coming down and homes are appreciating at a higher level, a lot of new construction is kind of stagnating. And because there is so much supply, right? I showed you that chart earlier that showed all of those completed homes that are for sale, new construction. That's the problem, right? If you've got a house that's 2 or 3 years old, you're not going to be able to sell if there's all that supply of new construction. You're going to have a hard time selling if there's all that supply of new construction. Because again, do people want a two or three-year-old house or do they want a brand new house? Most people are going to go for the brand new house. Now, if you've got a 20 or 30-year-old home, you might be in better shape because that might be built in a way that is more tasteful or considered higher quality construction than a brand new house. But if you buy a house brand new and then you want to move in a couple of years, there is no guarantee that new construction has gone up in terms of appreciation within just a couple of years. You've got to be prepared to live in there, I would say, for at least 5 years in order to really assure that your home has gained value during the course of your ownership. 2 to 3 years, it might gain value, but you're rolling the dice. You're definitely not guaranteed to get back the money that you spent going into it. So there you go. Those are a bunch of different thoughts about new construction. Curious to hear from you guys what you guys think. Again, it's an option and can be a good option for many people as long as you understand all of these potential pitfalls. And I want to make sure that you guys do understand those things. So thank you guys so much for watching or listening. Hit the subscribe button, like, rate, review, all those good things. My contact information is in the show notes, and we will talk again next time.